What's up, Overflow Church? What's going on? How y'all doing today? Now, I used to have game, man. Now, don't get it twisted, man. I used to have a little game back in the day. But, you know, I hit the 40 club a few months ago. And it's changed. I chose, I chose golf as my new sport. Come on, you know what I mean? Look, I don't play around with Jesus. You understand? We woke up this morning. You may not be feeling the best. Your money might be funny. You might have plenty of it. I don't know where you are in your life, but can we just take a moment and give Jesus praise just because he's good? Come on, because he's, can somebody give him glory? Lord, we thank you. We love you. We praise you, God. There is none like you. And I'm going to tell you something, family. I learned something in my life that, you know, when my life begins to twirl like this, the only thing that keeps me grounded is giving him all the glory, honor, and praise. Did y'all hear what I said today? Hey, to give God all the glory, honor, and praise, and it is good to be with Overflow Church. I got to just show some love. My man, Pastor Elijah, man, he's just dear to my heart, and I just want to honor you, man, and say thanks for inviting us to be here and the work that you are doing. We are both in the business of multi-ethnic church life, and I love seeing all these colors out here. Woo, I love this. You know what I'm saying? And what God is doing here in Benton Harbor, I love what he's doing here. And I know you all have been navigating probably many social complexities, but I believe that God's placed you here to be a light in this community. I love it. You drive through a little bit. Yeah, right on. You know what I love about this? This reminds me of back home. You drive through a little bit of hood. You drive through a little bit of good. And you drive through, you understand what I'm saying? You got a Popeyes on one corner. You got, you know, you have, what's the restaurant my girl talked about early? Clementines. Got a Clementine, mason jar, food to table, farm to table. But sometimes you need a Popeyes on the corner, you know? So I'm just very grateful. I feel really at home, and the hospitality of this church has been second to none. I just want to thank you for that. And when I get to travel, I don't always get to have my bride, and she's fine, man. And she's here with me. Come on, this is my wife, Crystal. She's here. She's here with me today. And we're like a day and a half in Benton Harbor, but watch this. It's a day and a half with no kids. I thought I was going to get an amen out of somebody. And that's like 7 days on the beach. That feels like 7 days on the beach. Pastor Elijah called me last night. He said, man, when you get back to your room, I got a little snack thing for you and some swag. And I said, man, I got snacks with no interference. Y'all know what I'm talking about, parents. Where you at? No interference. I'm telling you, so I ate them gummy bears at like 11:30 last night. I've just been acting up like we're on vacation. So it has been amazing hospitality here. I've come to encourage you. I want to fire you up. I want to make sure you walk out of here just confident in what God's called you to do. Our church, Renew Church, back home in the Chicagoland area is a multi-ethnic church. We got all kind of folks in our church, and very thankful for them saying, hey, go and be great PG and go minister with the friends and at Overflow Church in Benton Harbor. But I'm giving them love because God's doing a work in the kingdom right now. A part of my calling, a part of my mission, I know a part of Pastor Elijah's mission and calling is to gather the troops in multi-ethnic settings to really break down the walls and the issues regarding racism, regarding issues of social inequalities, all these things that we're facing in our nation. I believe the church is called to these spaces. One thing we pray about at our church all the time, we want somebody who mops floors sitting next to someone who performs surgeries. We want somebody from the west side of Chicago, and we want somebody from Barrington, which is, if you've been to Chicago, Barrington is some big houses out there. But we believe that the answer to what God's trying to do with the gospel is having faithful churches that say, you know what, I don't want to be by nobody that looks like me. I don't want to always be around people that vote like me. I don't always want to be around people that act like me, talk like me, have the same background as me. Ain't no fun in that. But we are called, and I don't want to put words in the mouth of this church, but I'm going to say generally, multi-ethnic churches like this and ours, we are called to enter into the messiness of gospel-centric living, and it's messy. It's messy. But when you read the Gospels, when you read the book of Acts, ministry is messy in itself. And so what I want to just encourage you all before I jump into this text is that whatever God's pushing this, whatever direction God's pushing this church in, however difficult it becomes, however messy it gets, oftentimes you know in that space you're in the right track. Because it's not us, it's the Holy Spirit sorting things out. And then pretty soon we're going to see God do miraculous things in our cities. And we believe that God wants to do something powerful with a multi-ethnic church. Amen? Amen. All right, y'all use Bibles here, paper Bibles? What do y'all do here? Y'all got like paper Bibles? Y'all probably got the fancy screen. Okay, I see what you do. I always joke in my church, you need to get a paper Bible. Grab your Bibles, your phones, your iPads, whatever you got. It'll be on the screen as well. Matthew 5. I'm reading a couple verses here. Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount. I want to encourage us with these words here. It says this: you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. Y'all see that? In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone, somebody shout, everyone.
Everyone,
everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Family, I'm gonna give a subject to this message today, and it's this: let us burn. Somebody shout, let us burn.
Let us burn.
I was gonna entitle this, watch this, Living the Lit Life. But I wasn't sure where I was going to be this morning. You understand what I'm saying? You got to have an alternate title. You know, y'all so crazy. Y'all crazy, man. Let us burn. Father, we just love your presence today. I'm so grateful for this team that led us this morning in a space of just honoring you. Some of us just needed to call your name. And so thank you, Lord, that you're here today and we're going to discern your word together. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us in a powerful way and let us walk away from here burning for Jesus in a new and fresh way. In Jesus' name, amen. So family, I'm in a vein right now. My church, we're like 4 or 5 weeks into a series called For the Culture, and I'm trying to mobilize our church. I'm trying to get us, you know, church has gotten so good now. Like church is good. We got good air conditioning. We got upgraded coffee nowadays. You understand what I'm saying? The snacks are next level. I grew up in a Missionary Baptist Church on the west side of Chicago, New Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church, 4104 West Roosevelt Road, Chicago, Illinois, no air conditioning. We wore robes to sing, and it was hot. We was frying chicken during the service, getting ready for the after service meal. It was ghetto, but it was God. You understand what I'm saying? But now church is just so, we're so well produced. It's so nice. It's so comfortable. We have great buildings, great facilities. And I think that's all great to the honor and glory of God. Amen. However, the mission of the church was never for us to be comfortable in these spaces. And although these chairs are comfortable, the reality of your Christian life and your witness is to be amongst, is to be in the world, amongst the world, infiltrating culture with the various callings and anointings and giftings that God has placed in you. Church is supposed to be happening out there. Are y'all here today? Now, is this a talk back church? What kind of church is this? Okay, I know. I can tell, Pastor, I can tell it's a talk back church. Sometimes I gotta talk to the church and say, you can talk back. Are you really serious? I can say something in church? We, family, are supposed to do this out there. The same presence of God that we sense in these meetings on Sunday mornings and worship nights and prophetic nights or whatever nights you do, it's supposed to be felt in the school district. It's supposed to be felt in the factory, in the warehouse, in the grocery store line, at the gas station. Now, I'm not telling you to get a bullhorn and a sign. What I'm telling you is that your witness and the thing that God has placed in you is supposed to be infiltrating the culture so much so that somebody looks at you and say, what do I got to do to get that? Why are you, everybody's getting laid off. Why are you over here peaceful? The boss talked to all of us crazy. Why are you over in the corner talking about God's going to do it? And I'm ready to smack somebody. You understand? Yeah. It's because there's something on me. Yeah. Yeah. And there's something in me that I really can't explain. But I'm going to declare, like we just sang in Good Grace, he's a good God. It's Jesus that's in me and on me. That we, family, are supposed to be infiltrating the culture so much so that our lights are shining and people are saying, what must I do to come to Jesus? My grandfather pastored our church for 40 plus years, old school preacher. You understand? Old school preacher. And he would fuss at us every single Sunday. Why aren't you bringing people to church? You need to bring people in this church so they can get God, so they can get Jesus. And that was his methodology. And that's what he knew at the time. I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying that we grew into a greater revelation as we got older to say, wait, I'm not supposed to save all this for Sunday. What we're doing today, this is the family meeting. You understand what I'm saying? You come in, you worship, we encourage each other, we love each other, we hug each other, we keep each other pressing on, we make sure you're encouraging the Lord. And then when Monday hits, now we have in church. Family, I want to make an announcement today that God has called you and I into, watch this, a ministry of illumination. And for all my parents who got kids under 5, you thought about the Minions as soon as I said that word. Illumination! So my baby, I got, all right, Lord, just, so listen, church, I'm dating my bride all over again. I know I talk about these kids. People think I don't like my kids. I love my kids. But I got an 11-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 1-year. I got a pandemic baby. You understand? And they different. And man, you know what? For the last day or so, you know, in my house every single day. Thanks, bro. In my house every single day, my 1-year-old watches Sing 2. All day. No, I'm not kidding. Now, don't judge me, parents. You understand? We just let them do it, you know? All day long, Sing too. And when it starts out, you know, in the beginning, and he hits that illumination, and that's just his situation right there. God has called you and I to a life and a ministry of illumination, which means that we should be noticed in the culture, which means that we should be burning and glowing and should be a light in the midst of darkness. Jesus, in this text today, family, is actually talking to a very diverse group of people when he was preaching the Sermon on the Mount. Some of them were disciples. Some of them were non-believers. Some of them were looking and seeking for healing. Some of them were just trying to get a touch because Jesus, his fame had risen in the community, and now they were just trying to get a little bit of what he got. And Jesus was given an expose. He was given a sermon about how the kingdom life should be lived. In other words, you may not be living it, but I'm going to show you what it's supposed to look like. And here's what I love about Jesus. I love this about Jesus. Y'all going to shout on this one right here. Jesus kicks off this verse. I know he talked about salt earlier. I know he talked about some other things, but in verse 14, he said, "You are the light of the world." And I love that. I'm going to tell you why I love that, fam. I love that because Jesus is masterful at calling you what you don't even see yet. Did y'all hear what I said today? That Jesus is masterful at walking up to you and saying, you are the light of the world. You're like, man, I got some work to do. No, I'm not talking about the work that needs to be done. I'm talking about what I see. I see you as something that you don't see yet. That's the power of the transforming work of the gospel. Yeah. Jesus walks up to folks that you don't call qualified. And he says, although you don't see something in them, I see something in them. And the work, the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in Jesus, he just does the work of pulling out of you what he placed in you. That's why when folks come in looking funny and got problems, we don't give them the side eye. We need to see what Jesus sees in them. What is you are a man of God. You are a woman of God. You are going to lead a strong family. You are going to do exploits for the kingdom. You are, you know, you look at these babies and these teenagers. I know it's going crazy right now, but you need to start when they go to sleep at night, go in their room and say, you are going to be something great. And you are going to, you're going to excel in school. You're going to excel in the classroom. You're going to excel in business because Jesus says you are. So these folks that he was preaching to, they didn't have an identity yet. But Jesus was faithful to place upon them what he already saw in the spirit, which is you are the light of the world. What I love about this text is that Jesus is now handing off the responsibility. One thing we have a problem with as Christians, and I'm going to testify on myself, we love a Jesus Christianity where we put everything on him. Not that he isn't the source, not that he isn't the cornerstone, but in this text, Jesus is beginning to transfer responsibility. Now, y'all watch me perform all these miracles. Y'all watch me love with compassion. You watched how I dealt with people that don't like me. You're going to see how I walk to the place of death in order for you to be saved. Now, I'm starting to transfer the responsibility. Now I'm the light right now, but you about to be the light. And so family, here's the transfer. I want to put a little pressure on us. This is what I'm doing with my church. So I'm treating you like family, all right? I'm going to put a little pressure on us that Jesus is transferring the responsibility in this text to say that all the things that we want to see changed in our communities, in our world, it happens through his power, through the power of the Spirit, but through you. So I love going into space. Look, I'm always in trouble. You understand? You can probably tell. Always in trouble. I'm in Chicago. We're screaming about racial reconciliation. We're talking about white supremacy. We're talking about the systems of injustice. We're just throwing it all out there because we love everybody and we want to see God heal this land. And what I see people do all the time is, God, would you come to Benton Harbor? And would you just rain down on Benton Harbor? God, would you come here and rid this community of racism and injustice and the problems that we see in the social spaces? We just waiting on God. And I get it, church, I get it. I get why we're waiting on God, but I just feel like for me, and I'm going to pass this off to you, family, I feel like all the moments that I said, God, I'm waiting on you to move, God looks back at me and says, well, I've been waiting on you to move. Are y'all here today, church? I've been waiting on, I told you you are. I've affirmed you, I've anointed you, I've called you, I've placed a calling on your life, I've given you passion. Some of y'all have passions from various parts of this world, industry and space. And God's like, hey, I'm waiting on you to move. I'm waiting on you to say something. So when we challenge our communities back in Chicagoland when it comes to injustice and multi-ethnic and reconciliation and us being together, every nation, every tribe, every language, every voice, I said, stop praying for God to come and get out there and let's do something together. He's already empowered us. He's already anointed us. He's already qualified us. He's already placed the mission on us to go out into the world and make disciples of all nations. He's already given you the words you need. Now, somebody needed to hear that today. That while I've used the excuse for many years, God, I'm just waiting on you to do it. God says, well, Greg, I've been waiting on you to just start what I'm trying to do through you. So Jesus tells the disciples and others, you are the light of the world. He calls us something that we don't quite see. Overflow Church is a place of reconciliation, change, revival, hope. And although you've been through transition and you don't quite notice and see it yet, he speaks over you. Even when you don't see it. And he said, you are the light of the world. Then he said, you're a city on the hill. Now we used to live in Arizona, which that's weird, right? I mean, it's just, no offense. I mean, Arizona was beautiful. That's where I started golfing, right? It's just gorgeous. And dry heat is not God's will. You know, it's like, like, listen to what I'm saying. Like, oh, this is dry heat. None of that is God. None of that. It's just hot. And so we served the church for like 4 years, and then like literally it was like, I don't know, bro. We need to go back home. I need to see a fall, winter, spring, summer. I need to see all four of them. I can't do this. We lived in Phoenix. It was fascinating to me. I had never really been around mountains or seen mountains like that. So we would drive. We were in the valley, and we would drive, and we would see these houses off in the distance, man. And it's a house, but all you saw was a speck. You saw a speck of light. And you knew that that house was miles away. But because the light was turned on, you were able to recognize it and witness it. When Jesus says you're a city on the hill, here's what I want to interpret today for us, is that we should not be in a culture where the culture doesn't know who we serve. Can I bring some Christian accountability to us today? That we should not be in a culture where the culture doesn't know the God and the goodness and the blessing of the Jesus that we serve. You know what we do? I'm testifying on myself. This is what I call it. We practice secret Christianity. I'm going to tell y'all what I'm talking about in a minute. You're going to know what I'm talking about. You're at work, and that lady comes past you and says, "And I'm blessed." You, what in the world? You blessed? Come here, girl. You know what I'm saying? You're like, "What church you go to?" I go to Overflow. You kidding me? You a Christian? And we just do these like secret Christian meetings. Now I get it. Now, family, listen. I get it. You can't be in your job with a Jesus First shirt and like, you know, you can't do all that kind. I get it. But we've gotten accustomed to this methodology of like, we don't need them to know, but we need them to know. Because I'm going to tell you, the greatest moment for a person to experience Christ is in the worst of their crisis. Watch this. Family, if they don't know where to go, they're going to keep spinning. And God has placed you in certain spaces and places strategically by his power and mission that when somebody needs him, you're the goalpost. You're the lighthouse. You understand? So when you're out in the world, they should at least know who you serve. Like, I might not preach to you every day, but you got to know where to come when you need a breakthrough. So he says, you're the light of the world and you're a city on a hill. We should not be in a culture that doesn't know who we serve. Family, I want to use this quick illustration I feel like Jesus was trying to give us some components to living a lit life. And I was thinking about this when I was reading a commentary on this, and they talked about the lamps that the ancient Jews would use, and these were oil lamps and all that kind of stuff. And I thought to myself, man, what a great opportunity for us to kind of view how God is getting us ready to infiltrate the culture. Here's where I want to start. These lamps, and it's funny, when I think about these lamps, I always think about Cracker Barrel. I mean, I just got to get over this food situation. You know the lamps at Cracker Barrel? You got the oil in there and the wick and the whole nine yards? If we look at the components of a lamp, I want to use that as an example for us to be sent on mission today. It starts with the wick. The wick is you and I. The wick is the one that receives. Understand me, church, there is no light without the source, the wick. In my opinion, that wick is twisted up, it's wound up. That's an example of how we are formed and how we walk in formation, being formed into the Christ-likeness that God intended. Have y'all ever felt in some seasons that God is just twisting everything on you? Can you leave me alone just in one season? I know what my language looks like right now. But just give me another month or so. God's like, listen, I need you to I need you to talk about yourself better, twisting you. I need you to talk to others better, twisting you. Now look, Chicago, you know, my people in Chicago, we want to just legitimize attitude. This is just the way I am. Take it or leave it, boo. This is me. You're like, chill. And then God starts twisting you, making you into the wick, because the wick is getting ready to receive. It can't be one strand. It's got to be multiple strands twisted together. And God's saying, you got to change that. Everything ain't about you. Well, like, God, I want to, in this me first generation where individualistic Christianity and individualistic living is on display. It's about me, myself, and I. No, it ain't, babe. No, it ain't. And God starts twisting you, saying, you've got to be in community. Who told you that you can live this life alone? Twisting you. Uncomfortable. Anybody ever felt like this? God's just changing you. He's twisting, he's adding to that wick. He's making it ready. That's the power of discipleship and formation. We don't just go out and cry Jesus. We allow Jesus to form us in the dark places, in the tough places, in the hard places, and it don't feel good all the time. Sometimes I'm tired of God working on me. But he twists the wick and he gets it ready. Why? Why, family? Because the wick is going to be placed in the wax or in the oil. The oil is the anointing of God. That the wick is no good without the oil. Because the oil sustains. The fire, I'm going to talk about in a minute. The oil, the anointing of God. Now, I'm Baptist, so I don't know what y'all are here. I didn't ask. I'm Baptist Costal. I will sing out of a hymnal in 1 minute and run around this church in the next one. And you won't know what's going on. You understand what I'm saying? What's my brother on the camera? He said, all right, Pastor, now what you going to do today? You going to be all right? I said, I'm not going to jump off the stage today. I'm not going to run around today. But the anointing, the ability of God, the smearing, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, this family is what gives us the ability to be sustained in the culture. It's the anointing. The anointing allows you to do things that you otherwise could not do. You understand what I'm saying? That where God has met you, has had you encounter a situation in the workplace, on the job, at the school, in the classroom that you don't have words for, but when the anointing, when the anointing comes upon you, you begin saying stuff you didn't know was in you. You're like, girl, what you said to me the other day, it like changed everything. You're like, what did I say? Because I was submitted. I'm formed, the wick, and I'm resting in the anointing. Woo, Jesus. Are y'all here today? Lord. And let me say something. We don't engage the culture without the anointing. We don't engage. We don't see fruit without the anointing. It's the Holy Spirit. You know, they tell you all the time, you know, don't give false humility. You know, people say, great job. And you're like, oh, it's all God. You know what I mean? And they're like, don't do that because that's false humility. And I'm like, no, do that. Because I am not, I ain't nothing I did in my life I'm qualified for. I'm not even going to play with you. Like, nothing I've done I'm qualified for. It's only the anointing of God that has built this building, that has kept this church, that keeps ministry going. It's only the anointing of God. Don't think it's about you and I. That's where we see the fall happen. When someone says, I can just be the wick. I don't need the oil. No, baby, you need the oil. The wick is us. We're shaped and we're formed. Getting ready to receive. We're resting in the oil. The oil is the anointing. That's what's going to sustain the fire, and the fire is the presence of God upon us. This is what Jesus was saying. He was saying, listen, guys, you are the light. I'm sending you out of here. You remember when he told the disciples in John 17, he said, I got to go. You want me to leave. If I don't leave, I can't send what? The comfort, the Holy Spirit. I got to get out of here. I've got to get this lamp fine-tuned. So I'm going to form you now. I'm going to leave you, send the oil, but I'm also going to send my presence. And it's going to rest on you. And people are going to know who you represent. And after a while, your life is going to be so transformed that they don't know if they're looking at you or him. And that's how he designed it. Y'all hear what I'm saying today? So then he lights the wick. He lights the wick. And what happens? You start to not see the wick as much as you did when it was unlit. Y'all gonna get that in a moment. I'm just, you understand what I'm saying? The fire begins to consume the wick, which means this Christianity, this life that God has called me to, it's supposed to display presence, not me. And if I don't have any oil, that light ain't gonna stay on. And if I'm not formed, that fire is not gonna stay on the wick. But if I got the oil and I'm allowing God to form me in discipleship and growth and maturity, now the fire comes. Now all people see is the light. Now watch this, family. This is where we get into trouble, because some people walk up to you and say, what happened to the wick? My God, I only got a few minutes left, Jesus. I feel like I'm at home now. That's what I do with my church. I want to encourage somebody today that people are looking for a version of you that has now been consumed. Y'all hear what I'm saying today? That don't be discouraged when friends and family and foes are looking for a version of you that is no longer active because it has been lit by fire. And they say, all we see is fire. But just last year, you were kicking it with me over yonder. I thought I was in the South for a minute. You know what I mean? Ben Harper, like, yonder? What's yonder mean? But I just want to encourage my family today that the purpose of your life is not for you to remain in one place that you were a year ago, 2 years ago, 10 years ago. And that people are going to come and try to pull you back into what you used to be. And they're like, what you lit up for? You know, I'm just, it's not me anymore. It's the fire of God's presence. And they should be seeing the light, even though they're looking for the wick. That's the Christian life, family. When all those components come together, it produces oxygen. Oxygen is another component that sustains the fire. What's the oxygen? The oxygen, family, is community. I can breathe in this space. Because I'm going to tell you something. The best place the devil wants you, here's my coastal side coming out. I'm Baptist coastal. I'm about to go coastal in a minute. You ready? Woo, Jesus. The place that the devil wants you is pinned up in a corner in your room by yourself with nobody to talk to, with no answers, alone in your own thoughts and your own feelings. The devil wants you in your pity party in the basement, sitting there by yourself, just consuming yourself to death, worrying, woe is me, what's going on in my life? That's the power of community. That's why we're at Overflow Church, because we need to be around some people. We need to be around the oxygen. The community is the oxygen. And I'm going to give you, I don't know if I can give you this permission, but I'm going to say it because I'm only preaching today and I get to leave later. We tell our church, you need to be the oxygen for each other. If you walk in here and you're in despair and your life is in the dumps and you're having a pity party, somebody needs to walk up to you and say, what's going on with you? What's going on in your life right now? What's wrong with you? Well, I got this going on and I'm grieving. Okay, bet. The devil ain't going to kick you in the corner. I'm a ride with you, because one can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000. Give me your hand, sister. And one of our core values is pray first, which means we don't say, all right, sister, we praying for you. You walk out the door and you ain't said our father for the lady. We don't let you get out the door. No. What's wrong? Come on over here in Jesus' name. We produce oxygen in this moment. As my sister and brother are suffocating, We just make sure the devil knows that she ain't alone. You understand what I'm saying? We make sure the devil knows that if you're going to fight her, you're going to fight all of us. Are y'all here today? And I just want to, and I'm closing here. I'm a black preacher. I get three closes. And it's one service? Ooh. I'm just kidding. I'm going to act right. My wife's here today, by the way. Normally, if she doesn't travel with me, she's normally like, the last church, I was in Raleigh, North Carolina, and they were saying, hey, Pastor, the live stream is not working today. I said, really? Good. So my wife won't be like, Greg, get off that stream. Get off this. This is my word to us, multi-ethnic family, when it comes to systems of injustice, racism, supremacy. We need oxygen.
Yes.
I tell my white brothers and sisters, pastors, friends, I tell them all, I say, bro, we need oxygen. We don't need you having a prayer vigil. You know what we need? We need you standing with me in the midst of some of these rash adversities because we're suffocating. And my Hispanic brothers are suffocating when they're getting raided in Chicagoland and they're fearing for their lives and their livelihood. And my Asian brothers and sisters are suffocating because Asian hate is a real thing. And they're getting sniped out like they're some sort of enemy. My Indian brothers and sisters that I love so much back in Chicagoland are hiding out because they're trying to figure out where they fit because the systems of our world are not set up for them. And so we need oxygen. Pastor Greg, how do we infiltrate the systems of racial injustice and these issues of inequality? We need oxygen. We need spaces like this to say, how are you feeling? What do we need to do? How do we navigate this together? And this is not just for black people, this is for everybody. Because at some point, everyone suffocates for a moment. But are we aware enough to say our brothers over here are suffocating, our sisters over here are suffocating, these communities over here are suffocating? We need oxygen. Oxygen comes through community. So I want to encourage you, your involvement in seeing the systems of inequality and injustice being rid of have everything to do with the colors that are at your table. And are you creating oxygen moments where we can grow and lean in together? Can I just want to give that PSA.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's good.
Because God's about to do a work through this church, man. Oh, man, this is going to be good. It's going to be good. Let me end here. Let me end here. My second close. Come on. There you go, worship team. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, there you go. I'm kind of used to our keyboard player just kind of like, No. Y'all so fun. You are a city on a hill that gives light to everyone. You're the wick formed by Jesus and the Holy Spirit, placed in oil, the anointing, consumed by fire, his presence, living in community like this. And what's the whole point of all of it? He says this, family, in the last, in verse 16, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. What is he saying? The whole purpose of our lives, family, is that God gets the glory. Do you hear me today? The whole purpose of this church is that God gets the glory. The whole purpose of his anointing on you and your ability to infiltrate culture, it's not for you. It's that God gets the glory. And family, if I can talk about our larger family at hand and the tragedies that we've seen in the church and the downfall of leadership, which breaks my heart, and the thousands upon thousands of people that are scattered in our culture because they've been burned by the hurt of our family, the church. Most times it came as a result of misplaced glory. That now all these people are here for me. Or the city needs me. Or I am the central part of this whole gospel-centric message. No, we got to fix that. The only reason God is going to bless you and increase this church and increase the buildings and capacity and people in this church is so that people can look at you and say, man, that God that they serve, that Jesus that they proclaim, it really is about him. And we can see more lives transformed, saved, and healed. Are y'all ready for what God's about to do here? I'm not playing with you. Are you ready for what God's about to do through you and this church? Are you ready? I sense it. I feel it. I know it. I discern it. That God's about to do something powerful with Overflow Church here in Benton Harbor. So I want you to get ready. But it starts here. Being submitted to Jesus Christ our Lord. And family, when I come back, if you bring me back. I didn't get no tomatoes thrown at me. Praise God. When I come back, I'll know God's been at work at this place. And when you come to Chicago, you'll know God's been at work in this place. I love y'all. Appreciate you.